Hi, hunters. Thank you for tuning into the Flush 'Em and Dust 'Em podcast brought to you by Nick and Tyler, the boys from Ringnecks and Retrievers. In this podcast, we will talk about guns, dogs, gear, and our successes and failures in the field through our combined 40 years of experience. We speak with hunters just like you from across the nation about their days in the field and the many memories they built with their friends and family. We are excited to have you listen. Now let's get to flushing and dusting.
Hey guys, Nick and Tyler here from Ringnecks and Retrievers with Flush 'Em and Dust 'Em podcast tonight. Today we're going to be talking about our field loadout. So pretty exciting stuff. But first, we wanted to give a little shout out. We had some exciting news come across in the last couple weeks. We got our first sponsor, CrossFit 327 out of Pleasant Hill, Iowa. Brad, Brandy, and Brian are the owners of this gym, and they can support you with all your nutrition needs. I go there. Tyler gets his workouts from there. Top-notch gym, guys. Head out there and check it out. Maybe we can grab a workout together. Second, we actually got another sponsor. So Homeworks Construction up in Guttenberg, Iowa. Chris does everything from building your home to remodeling to anything you can think of. Give him a call at 563-590-2829. All right, let's get into it. Let's get into it, guys. So, yeah, we've had some exciting things come our way recently. And today we've been getting a lot of questions about field loadout. Yeah. So I'm going to kick it off by giving Tyler the go on this one. Tyler, when you're getting prepared, head to the field.
Yep.
And let's just stick with clothes for right now. What – and let's stick with bottom half. How about that?
Bottom half.
Work our way up. Yep. Bottom half. What are your essentials going off, starting from your feet? Let's start at your socks, even. Are you wearing wool socks? Are you wearing ankle socks? What the hell are you doing?
Yep. So, like I said, I start I actually have, like, a tote that I keep my specific pheasant hunting gear in. I have one tote for kind of an early season, and then I have a late season that's kind of the more bulky stuff to wear. For the shoes that I like, I'm actually going to get a new pair of Irish setters.
Okay.
Here, I'm gonna get for early season. I'm gonna go with the wing shooter version. They have a 7-inch height on them, so I think that's gonna be pretty good for early season.
Yep.
You know, probably not gonna be much snow out there. Hopefully, I don't have to cross too many creeks. They are waterproof, but they're only 7 inches high, so you know, you gotta be careful with that.
Yeah.
But for late season, depending on these wing shooters might be warm because they're leather, you know, and I wear leather boots at work, duty boots, and I rarely have to wear wool socks because they're pretty warm.
Yep.
But for late season, Irish Sitter also has a elk tracker shoe, which is their insulated hunting shoe model. And it's also a 9-inch height. So
okay,
a lot better for, you know, if you got snow on the ground.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Through wetlands, you know, things like that. So those are the shoes that I load out with. For the socks, I use just my regular, well, when I work out, actually I wear taller socks just to keep my shins from getting all banged up. But I use those because they wick away the sweat. I just get them at Walmart. They're And One is the brand. Pretty cheap, but they do really well at wicking away sweat. So that's the sock that I use. And I don't use long underwear a ton. If I do use long underwear, I usually have the Under Armour 2.0, the base 2.0, and I also have the 3.0, which the 3.0 I really only bust out when it's like the late season long tail hunts, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of like late December, January, when it's maybe 10 degrees out. But the reason I don't, and probably the reason I'm guessing Nick is probably the same, is because we both have those Orvis chaps. And we can spend a little bit of time on those, guys. Those chaps, I had a pair of...
They don't chap your ass, that's for sure.
That's right. You not have chap ass. But those things are, man, those things are freaking awesome. They're windproof, waterproof. They're super comfortable. I mean, the one thing is you can wear whatever pair of pants you want underneath it. If you guys want to wear dress pants, if you're like that, you can. But, you know, any pair of blue jeans that you want under it, if you're wearing tactical pants under it, you know, it's
yeah, guys, just if you want to go from field to wedding, you can keep that suit on the whole time.
And it keeps them dry and people won't even notice. Just have to change your shoes and your shirt probably. But so the Orvis chaps, those things, they're nicer. They run at what, about 110?
Yeah, like 120. I think we got 120 or so, 110 off of Amazon.
And they come in large, medium.
Yeah, so Tyler is a couple inches taller than me, and I believe you got the Orvis large and I got the Orvis medium, and the medium fits me perfect. Like, it's right at the heel of my boot. It's not dragging on the ground. If I would have got the large, they would have been touching the ground. That would have irritated the hell out of me.
And so they also have a 3/4 zip on the bottom of them that go about halfway up your calf. So it's super easy to slip on and off over your boots. Which is nice for after a hunt. You can take them off quick if you're going to walk into a bar or something to grab a beer or go somewhere to eat, you know. Or even in the morning, I don't put mine on before I get to the field.
No, we wait till we get to the field and then we dress it up.
Because it's comfortable, you know, just to ride in the truck without them on.
Yep.
You know, throw them on quick.
So I do things, you know, just a little bit different than Tyler does, but we're 90% the same, I would say. Yeah. So, you know, for my socks, my feet, on my whole body, my feet are the thing that always get the coldest. So even when it's warm out, I still wear my hunting boots, but usually I just wear a real light sock.
Yeah.
And when it's real cold out, I'll actually wear an ankle sock in and then put like a, this longer socks like you were talking about that come up shin height so my boot doesn't rub on my calf. I'll do that. And then I actually did bring my boots. I do have Irish Setters here. And these are called Irish Setter Hunts.
Nice.
So I've had these for about 5 years now. This year I am due for a new pair. But I'm still going to keep these around because, they hold up super well. They're 100% waterproof. I can stand in the creek with these babies.
Yep.
They've been to South Dakota, two times now?
Yep.
They'll go again this year with us. Super good boot. So I'll be getting another pair of Irish Setters, the best boot I've ever owned.
Yeah.
And then for my pants, you know, I know Tyler said that if he needed to, he'd wear the Under Armour. I actually do a little bit different there. I actually buy a bigger pair of jeans, and then I actually wear sweatpants underneath.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. I just have always done that since I was young. It's a little bit cheaper than the Under Armour. If you know, the Under Armour could be $80. You know, I think I got a pair of sweatpants at Walmart for $10. Throw them babies underneath my jeans. And
Nick's already to lounge after the.
Yeah, I'm ready to lounge, man.
He's like, let's go hit the recliner. Yeah,
I'm good to go. But going back to Orvis now. So last year we were in South Dakota. It was 15 degrees out. I did not put sweatpants under my jeans, and I just wore my Orvis chaps over top, and I did not get cold the whole time. 15 degrees, walking around, not cold.
Yeah.
Not at all. It held all.
They're freaking awesome.
Yeah, it held all my heat in from my legs. You know, maybe you need to wear some, you know, thicker underwear or something because it doesn't cover your – doesn't cover the old mid-range there, but
– Don't want that getting
cold. Everybody's used to a little shrinkage, but yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, those are some key things that you want to make sure, you know, the good thing is these kind of things are items that you usually have on your body. Obviously, if you have chaps, you want to make sure you don't forget those when you pack out. I know some people use those hunting pants, the ones that are uplands. And I am not a fan of those. I wore those when I was younger. And, you know, if you go out in the morning and it's, South Dakota is a little different because you can't start till 10 o'clock, you know, so the dew's kind of off the grass and whatnot. But here in Iowa, you start out in the morning, or if you had a fresh snow and you wear those, your legs are going to get wet. They say they're waterproof, but I've never had a good pair.
You know, I've I still got a couple pairs of them.
Yep.
Actually, I like to wear them when I deer hunt, honestly, guys.
It keeps really the briars out.
Yeah, it keeps those out, and it really protects against the rose bushes if you're going through those. Obviously, I don't think the Orvis chaps would go against rose bushes. They rip the shit out of everything. But they're really good for that. And I do take a pair of those out to South Dakota when I go. Safety precaution, backup pair of pants. You never know what can happen, guys. Always just be overprepared.
Yeah, and I have a different pair of chaps. Drawn a blank on the name.
Have to look it up. We're not talking about your motorcycle chaps.
No, the assless one. But these ones, I got them from Shields. They're the full-on leather. I want to say Wilson is the brand, but I don't believe that's correct. But you can pick them up at Shields. They're more expensive. They're like $170 for the pair.
And would you say Orbis is better than those, you think?
I think
– For the price?
For the price, 100% Orbis is the way to go. Like I said, last year was our first year with Orbis, and they lasted all season. And we went through some thick brush.
They're good to go this year, too. They're ready to roll. So
give it a couple years, I want to see. But the other pair that I have is the full-on leather. Like, you got to use the wax and everything to make them waterproof. And I had those for, God, since I was probably 17, 18, maybe a little older than that. So for at least 10 years now. And they've lasted. The bottom part where the heel is on my boot is kind of getting a little stringy. But they keep me dry. They're just not as comfortable. They don't let you move around as much. They also don't have the zipper to get them over your boots, so you have to actually put them on then put your boots on. So Orbis is definitely something if you guys are looking for a new piece of gear for this upcoming season. Definitely look into those. They are very nice.
You know, guys, and back to the beginning, when Tyler said he was carrying stuff, you know, we get totes. They're $7, I believe, $8 at Walmart. And both Tyler and I keep all of our hunting gear that we're taking on the trip in one tote. Everything's right there. All our extra gear, all the stuff that we know we're going to use, all the stuff that we don't think we're going to use is in that one tote.
And I'll tell you what, when you forget something, that's the day that you're going to need it. Because we were out in South Dakota last year, and it was wetter than Sam Hell out there. If anybody was out there last year, you guys can attest to it. And we went through a spot, and lo and behold, I forget my stinking socks, an extra pair of socks. I didn't have them in my tote, and my feet were absolutely soaked. After
who didn't forget his socks?
Right. Nick still had his. So
he still had he still had a pair of socks.
Yes. That's why that tote is a huge thing. You can load it up before season starts, the night before your hunt. You can look through it, make sure you're not missing anything. And, you know, it's definitely a great $7 purchase.
Yeah.
You know, it's very worth it. And so, Nick, what's something that you know, we spoke a lot about the bottom. I think we kind of covered that pretty well. What's your top look like?
So, you know, if I'm starting, when I'm going out hunting, you know, I always wear my Under Armour, what is it, my heat gear. Keeps me nice and warm. And I always start off with that, and I start wearing that right away. Is it cold gear? Yeah, I wear my cold gear. Keep me warm. And then I usually put a t-shirt over that. And then on top of that, I put a little lighter sweatshirt. And then Tyler attests, I never wear a jacket. I kind of just buy these heavier sweatshirts. And then when it's really cold out, I put a third sweatshirt over top of that. So literally I just have sweatshirt on top of sweatshirt. I feel like it gives me better mobility. On top of that, I put, and right now, I have this vest. But we'll be switching to a hunt ready vest. Tyler already has one, but I use this, and I like this vest cause it gives me a little extra protection, but it's a game hide vest. I believe I got it at Tyson's. It's like $60. I would say it's a little bit more of the expensive vest, in Tyson's that is, but, you know, I know the hunt ready vest is very versatile, but that's kind of my upper body. And I wear that like all year long. It'd be 0 degrees out, it'd be -10, and I wear just sweatshirts. I do, however, carry a Carhartt jacket with me at all times, just in case, for whatever reason, I can't handle the cold. That Carhartt jacket is, you know, that'll handle anything.
Yeah. And, you know, there's not really a good, and I haven't found it, so, you know, if anybody out there listening, if you guys have found a good upland jacket,
yeah,
that is like lightweight, allows you to move freely, you know, if you got something out there, drop a comment below, send us a message. We'd love to see what you guys have, because like Nick said, with wearing the sweatshirt and stuff, you just, you feel more free. You can swing your gun better. You don't feel like you're just all bulky.
Yep.
You know, and it's hard to move with. And the upland.
That Carhartt jacket is so big.
It is. Yeah.
Like, and it's hard to, and it's like stiff. I've had it for years and it's still just like stiff. Where I feel like my sweatshirts, if I was hunting, I'd put another sweatshirt over this if it was cold out. That's all I wear. I just wear that.
You know, and I kind of do the similar thing. I have my, I use the base layer Under Armour. It's the most comfortable. I also have it for work. So I have a lot of different ones. And then I actually wear my favorite sweatshirt to wear is, they have, Carhartt has a weatherproof sweatshirt that it's not rainproof, but it's water resistant. And it's actually like helps, it stands up to the briars pretty decent, and it's very soft on the inside, which I like. I like the feel of it.
I'm gonna have to look into that.
Yeah, and I just found one last year and I started wearing it, and then I bought a couple of them because they're super comfortable. And then I actually wear I think they're called neck gaiters. I like just having, especially on windy days or colder days, I like having something around my neck. That way I can also, if it's super windy or cold, I can pull it up over my nose, like halfway on my face. And it helps keep your face warm, or it helps not get your lips capped quicker. So, you know, Pheasants Forever has a couple of them on their site. You can go, it's kind of just like a handkerchief sewn in a circle, and then you just slide it over your head. It's a stretchy material, you know, and they make insulated ones. I don't get an insulated one. I've never experienced that much cold where I've felt like I needed it.
Yeah, and I kind of do. I have something similar. I'm not sure of the proper name, and I didn't look it up. I apologize. But the Under Armour head thing where you can actually pull it all the way. I'll wear that around, and usually I don't put it over my head, but I'll put that around my neck. So that's something similar that you can wear as well.
Yep. I just, like I said, I just like having that gaiter around my neck. It's just like, if I don't like brush touching it, I don't know. It's just something weird. I don't like people touching my neck. So
unless it's Haley.
Yeah. But you know, what do you use for gloves?
So right here I have these Hot Shots. These gloves, I'm sorry, I thought I showed them to you guys. These Hot Shots here. And so, you know, they're not real insulated. They're just enough. But I like about them, they're snug on my hand, as you can see.
And yeah.
It's real easy for me to hold my gun. I got good grip in the middle. Good trigger fingers. I don't feel like my gloves are getting caught anywhere. You know, my hands will get cold every once in a while holding my gun if it's real cold out. I think the key is for me, once I keep moving, I'm fine. Or if I have to, you know, I'll put my fists in the glove in a ball for a little bit and shake it up and get it warmed up and then put my fingers back in. But I'll wear this in all types of weather. You know, so it doesn't matter how cold it is out. These are my gloves. This is what I wear. I love them just because of the functionality of them. The ease, I can easily grab this cup and I'm not struggling to hold it. I can pick up my phone. I'm not struggling to hold my phone. I can turn it on. So, I think it's a great glove. I got them at a Mills.
Oh, nice.
Mills, yep. Mills Fleet Farm.
And you don't see too many of those Fleet Farms around. They're actually starting to pop up, though. Yeah. Cedar Rapids has a Fleet Farm now.
Yep, in Ankeny, Des Moines. Yeah. That's where I get mine from. I think last year I bought two pairs of these gloves because I like them so well. And one sweated up from the day before hunting. Yeah. I got a fresh one to go. Or if I get them wet, you know, I can just switch them out right away.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've never found, like, a pair of gloves that I absolutely like. My hands, like Nick was saying earlier, his feet get cold. My hands, like, I don't know if I don't get any blood circulation to them or something, but they are always cold. But I've seen people post in some of the pheasant hunting sites that we follow about the Mechanics insulated gloves. And a lot of people have commented that they would wear those, and no matter how cold it gets, that those mechanics insulated gloves are supposed to be good. So I'm going to try out those for insulated gloves. And I actually, for a non-insulated glove, I really do like the mechanics glove on days where I don't need an insulated glove. Yep. Because it's you can feel the gun. They do have – I don't know if they have the touchscreen capability. I can't remember. They do that on your phone.
Mine does not have the touchscreen capability, but yeah. I can click – the fingers are easy enough where I can click a button to see if I have a missed call or you know, whatever the case may be.
The thing I like about the mechanics is, like, the dexterity for if you're reaching for your collar, you can find the button on your collar. Yep. You can actually feel it, you know, which is a big thing to make sure you're hitting whatever you need, you know, for your dog. So the mechanics glove, if anybody has any experience with those, we'd love to hear that. I know I'm looking forward to trying them out this year. Otherwise, I just go to Shields and kind of pick up whatever brand they had. I think they have a Game Hide down there as well. And so that's kind of what I've used in the past years. But my hands, like, if it's below 32 degrees, I don't know what it is, but they just get cold and I can't figure out how to warm up. Maybe that's why I miss so many birds. I'm going to leave it at that. My hands are frozen. That's probably the reason.
That's probably why I do too. My feet are so cold, I can't stand up straight.
Yeah. But it's always important. You know, we set in the socks, bringing a couple pairs of socks with you, always packing a couple gloves.
Yep.
I know Nick talked about the vest, and something that I haven't done in the past that I'm going to start doing, especially now with my new Hunt Ready vest, due to how versatile it is and what I can carry out with it, is I'm going to actually carry a spare set of gloves with me, and I'll probably actually carry a spare set of socks to the field with me, because there's nothing worse than being a mile and a half away from the truck and your feet get wet or your hands are wet and you can't get them warm and you got to make it all the way back.
Yeah, you're screwed.
It's horrible. So that's one thing I like about the Hunt Ready vest, is actually got a couple pouches for it to where I can carry that extra personal gear.
Yep.
And so those, that's one of the main reasons I went with that vest. I know there's other vests out there, but this one I could personalize to fit exactly what I needed. And I feel like those extra pouches are going to allow me to carry the gear that I've been missing, you know, in the past.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised with, you know, seeing your vest and things of that nature. And I haven't physically got to touch it, but Tyler showed it to me virtually. And man, the amount of gear that you could actually put in that, water bottles for your dogs, both dogs, or even more than that, water bottle for yourself. There's places for a full box of shells. You can put two full boxes of shells. I mean, it's very versatile. Or mine, I just got the, you know, I just got the pack in the back to haul the birds and two pockets up front. That's all I got.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of limited there.
Yeah. And if you're going out for, you know, a quick, you know, let's say you just got a morning to do a couple hour hunt, you know, the vest is, you don't need all that gear.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you're not going to be out there, you know, like when we take our trips, we do 4 days of, I mean, we might take what, we do, our break is basically between fields, and then sometimes we'll do like a nice hour break or something in the afternoon.
Right before golden hour.
Yeah, just to give the dogs a break
and
then hit up golden hour, you know. So it's important to have, you know, that tote with the extra gear in it for the event that, one, you know, your socks get wet, your gloves get wet, or, you know, what if you're – your chaps rip, or, you know, what if your shoestring breaks on your shoe? You know, you want to make sure you have an extra set of shoestrings with you. That's like, God, you imagine having to walk around with untied shoes? Oh my God, that'd be horrible.
No, I
don't think I'd go.
I always tie my shoes probably tighter than what I should. I just like tight shoes.
Yeah.
I think that comes from just playing sports. I always wanted my shoes tight and never fell off.
Yeah, that's true. It's not like you run that fast. Come on.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah. But, you know, so those are, that's kind of the gear guys that we have from top to bottom. You know, we can do a quick recap of it. Basically, you know, your boots, a couple pairs of socks, your gloves, you know, and then whatever gear you're going to wear out there. And then I like to bring an extra, you know, an extra sweatshirt or something like that, just in case the weather changes on you.
Yep.
Never know.
And you can't forget, we always take our hats.
Yeah.
Our hats. Ball cap, you know, and actually I wear a Carhartt orange hat on my head, stocking hat. That's what I like, nice and warm.
We'll be getting an orange pair of these, so that way you guys can wear them out in the field and your head will be nice and orange.
Yes.
For everyone to see.
You know, to move on now, you know, so that's kind of what we take to the field. Now, what do we take into the field?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. So we're just going to give a quick round off here because we're going to do some extra podcasts on a little bit more depth in some of these.
Yep.
But, you know, I'll just start off real quick. Guns, we're not going to go into any depth on these because Tyler and I are going to do a podcast on this later.
Yep.
But I can speak for both Tyler and I. We take our SX4, which is a 20 gauge. I take my Browning Maxis along, and Tyler also takes his Beretta A400.
Yeah.
So that's where we'll leave that. We take those.
You guys might ask why we take two guns. You never know if you fall in the water, or you put your barrel into the ground, it gets covered in dirt, or your gun just for some reason doesn't work.
Yep.
It's always important to have that second gun with you.
Even when I go out by myself in the mornings, I take both my guns.
Yep.
Always take both my guns.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever not taken two guns with me.
Yeah.
It's just – it's a sense of security. You know, you hope you never have to use it because you never want your gun to – you spend enough money on your guns, you don't want them to malfunction.
Yep.
But,
yep.
You know, you never know if something might happen. Or, you know, if you forget to pack out the night before and don't bring a box of shells with you. You know, you always got that second gun.
Yep. Done that before.
Yeah. Or you haven't loaded it.
I've done that before, too.
Right when a rooster gets up, gun is not loaded. That's the main thing before you get out to the field. Don't rush your hunting buddy. Tell him that he needs to hurry up to make sure your damn gun's loaded.
I have I've done that before, guys. Rush Tyler, didn't load my gun, bird right up, nice 30-yard shot, nothing in my gun.
Click. That still cracks me up every time I think about it.
I was ready to go home after that.
Packed up, called it a day.
Yep. And then, you know, and we'll just go over this, like, again, because we're going to do podcasts on several of these things, but shells, I know we had a podcast earlier, but I like shooting the Browning BXDs. And then I always take an extra steel shot shell.
Yep.
A lot of these places that you go hunting on public, they actually don't want lead shot. They want steel shot because there's a lot of waterfall around, especially in South Dakota. So if you're in South Dakota, you better have steel shot because, you know, it's going to be required on most of the ground out there, I would say, that you've been on.
And I don't mind the steel shot. It has worked for me. And, you know, and like Nick said, it's just important to have. And there's a lot of good options for steel shot. I know some guys are kind of
steel shot is cheap, guys. Cheap. Yeah. I'm talking box 25 or 10 bucks. You can get Winchester steel shot. I'm trying to think what we were using.
We took a picture. We had the Fiachi.
Yep.
The Steel Fiachis. Max, I believe it is. Yep. I don't remember what the price is. I bought a ton of boxes because it was like a deal when I
they're like $9.99. I think when we got those, they're really cheap.
And I mean, they've knocked birds down at 40 yards, 50 yards. So,
I mean,
they worked just fine.
Yeah. And then, you know, when I get to the field, depending, I normally don't do this. I've only done it occasionally, but I'll also wear maybe a pair of sunglasses, but I usually just like to keep my bill of my hat down lower if I have to.
Yeah.
I don't like anything on my face to cloud my view. Although for protection, it is the right idea to wear maybe a good pair of clear goggles or something like that. So if you guys feel safer with doing that, by all means, please get a good pair of clear goggles and wear those out to the field.
Yeah. I know a lot of guys, they do like shooting glasses.
Yep.
I need, like last year when we went out that one time, I tried them. It's just uncomfortable for me to wear glasses.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's probably something I don't have glasses or contacts, so I'm not used to anything really sitting on my face. I honestly don't even really like wearing sunglasses. To be honest.
I rarely wear any, and it's hard for me with, like, if you're wearing a ball cap, to me, you almost have to have like a flat bill to be able to wear your sunglasses, you know. And I like my, I kind of have my bill a little tighter to my head. So if I wear one, I got to wear it like, you know, up. And I don't know, sunglasses just aren't, they just aren't comfortable for me. I've never enjoyed them, but I know a lot of people think, you know, it's a good thing to have. If it's an option for you, I'd definitely pack them in there.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely some safety bonuses that go with them. So I would look into those, you know, if you're worried about your eyes or anything like that, or some debris coming back in your face, by all means, you know, I'd wear them.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, one other big thing is you can't forget about your dog gear. Your dog's obviously coming with you.
Yep.
Make sure, you know, your collars, if your dog wears a collar, some guys might not have collars. We both run an e-collar system on our dogs. Make sure that's charged up the night before. Make sure that I always throw mine in my tote. If I don't put it on the dog before we leave, the night before, I always put it in my tote to make sure that I know, like, it's there.
Yeah, and don't be like me. This past year going to South Dakota, I had all of Diesel's food and gear in a bag by the door, and I walked right by it, and we were 2 hours away from home, and we had to turn back.
Yep.
So a six-hour trip turned into an eight-hour trip, and I was not the happiest of campers.
Yeah, it happens. You know, and if you're a checklist person, you know, put a checklist down of, you know, the gear that you're going to take out there and cross off that checklist. I know this year when we do our hunt trip, I'm definitely going to do checklist before we take off.
Because I forgot shit.
And,
so,
you know, we had that hunt, that late season hunt, and I forgot the freaking dog collars.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yep. And we were late to the hunt. We had to schedule a guide that day. We were late, you know, and that's why that checklist, that's why you make sure everything's ready the night before. Otherwise,
still had a great hunt. Still got 17 birds.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was a good hunt. Was a fun day. Nice day. Nice fresh snow. It actually snowed when we were out there.
Yeah, it did.
Just made it a good time. But,
you know, and, you know, another thing, and we're also going to do a podcast on this as well for our dog loadouts, but don't forget, you know, this is something that we've been lacking in, and we really need to get better at it, and we're going to do it this year. Dog first aid kits, even a first aid kit for ourselves. I mean, I can't tell you how many times last year I sprained my ankle out in the field trying to chase down a damn rooster. And, man, you know, a little Tylenol went a long way when I did that.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Nick said, we're going to do a podcast. So this podcast is mainly to cover what we personally take out to the field.
Yep.
The next, we're going to do another podcast that's just going to specifically talk about dog stuff. And then we're going to do another one that's going to talk mainly about guns and ammo. Yep. Those are the ones coming up. But yeah, the dog first aid kit and our first aid kit, man, you know, and especially a water bottle. Holy crap. Having water and staying hydrated. You don't think about it, you know, especially when it's cold out, you're like, oh, I'm not really sweating, but you know, you're put on 4 miles. And if you're not drinking any water.
Yeah. I mean, it's evaporating on your body. So you're dehydrating no matter what.
Yeah. So it's super important that you guys, you know, bring out some type of, I probably won't bring something this big. It's pretty heavy. I don't want it weighing me way down. They have those nice, I think the brand's Nalgene or something. N-A-L-G-E-N-E. Nice 32-ounce clear plastic bottles, you know?
Isn't that what it's called? Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Isn't that the brand?
Sure.
Am I just making shit up?
I think you're making shit up. I don't know what to tell.
I don't know. Well, it's a 32-ounce clear plastic bottle. Nice, lightweight.
Is it BPA-free?
Well, if it has a sticker on it, it would be. I'm thinking they'll go buy one. Tell me
And then another thing, guys, that we cannot forget to the field, and I got this last year from my wife for my birthday, is a knife. This is This is a Buck, it's called. That's the brand name of it, but it is a smaller knife, as you can see. It's not very big compared to my hand.
Yeah,
I do not
knife.
I do not have big hands. This baby slices up those birds like nobody's business. It
yep.
is super nice. It is super light. Easy to carry on your side. This goes right through your belt. Boom. It's in there. Super nice. Super, super good knife. And I just had it sharpened, so it's ready to go. It's ready to go for season already.
Nice. Yeah, I got a Buck knife as well. And because if – I don't know who else did the Pheasant Forever membership, but last year they gave away that Browning and – I think it was Browning. Yeah, Browning knife. And
yep.
That thing is sharp. Holy
yep.
shit. So I'll be.
I have one of those as well.
Yeah, I'm going to be throwing. I'm just going to put that one in my tote. So that way, if I forget my other knife, I always have that one
yep.
in there. It's a very nice knife.
And then, you know, just a couple more things, guys. You know, obviously bring a cooler with food, water.
Yep.
You don't know how long you're going to be out there. And then obviously when you get birds, you know, we need to clean them properly. And you need to usually keep the wing, with the bird, especially when you're traveling out in South Dakota, you're only allowed 15, per two guys. So, you know, those are things to look out for. And then, one of the biggest things is I always carry my cell phone on me. You never know, if there could be an accident out in the middle of the field. Something like that. It's the only thing I take it for. Maybe a photo op of, you know, getting a bird.
Yep. And I always put mine in a zippered pocket, or like a Velcroed pocket, just the event, you know, if you fall or something, it doesn't slip out of your pocket or whatnot.
Yep.
But like Nick said, that is probably for emergency purposes. There's no better tool to have than that. You can have a first aid kit, but if no one can get to you and you're just stuck out there, you know, the nice thing about these cell phones now with like iPhone, you can like drop a pin where you're at and send it to someone and they can get exactly to where you are, you know,
as long as you have service, that's
the
thing,
that's
you know,
a scary
but,
part.
You know, by all means, you know, always try to hunt with a buddy. I think it's best if you can hunt with a buddy. And obviously Tyler and I do that quite frequently, but I always take my phone just in case something happens. Some accidents can happen and we try to steer clear of those.
Yes, exactly. So, but guys, I think that covers it for our loadout. You know, if you guys are liking our channel, want to support us, definitely hit that subscribe button. Drop comments. If you guys have questions, send us some emails.
Check us out, ringnecksandretrievers.com.
ringnecksandretrievers.wordpress.com for our website.
Yep.
We're on Instagram and Facebook as Ringnecks and Retrievers. And our podcast is Flush 'em and Dust 'em for your different podcasting sites. So we're on iTunes, Spotify, a couple different hosts. So go check those out. Subscribe to them. Obviously, your guys' support helps us keep doing this. And, you know, you guys giving us answers to questions that we ask, we bring those into our podcast and, you know, gives us a lot of good knowledge to give you guys.
Yes, it does. Hey, we thank you so much for the following. We're going to keep doing our best. Let us know if you have any suggestions. And in the meantime, as always, guys,
flush them
and dust them.
Have a good one. See ya.